Greetings, everyone. This is the David Martinez podcast coming to you live from my apartment. Isn't that great? So today's the 12th of November, day after my mother's birthday. If she's listening to this, if she ever listens to this, even once, happy birthday, Mom. I love you very much. Okay, so starting this thing off with some reflections on last podcast, maybe just my podcasting in general. I'm not sure if I want to keep this first section always for reflection or not. I don't know if that's going to get sort of boring or weird, but, you know, right now I'm still kind of in the discovery phase for this. So just kind of me spending just a second thinking about it, talking about it. It helps me. So, well, it's my podcast, so it helps me. So, you know, whatever, you guys can deal. Hopefully the second one was a little better than the first. Got a little bit more of a comfort for the medium. Had myself a little bit more better prepared, so I wasn't, you know, constantly stopping and stumbling over my words and whatnot. Which is good. You know, I received some encouragement from a friend of mine, a Mr. Ryan Sullivan. Hopefully he doesn't mind me using his name on the air, so to speak. Who was saying, like, hey, you know, I haven't really listened to your podcast, but I listen to a lot of these things, and I put your podcast in my, you know, iPod, and hey, you know what, man, don't worry. Most of these things don't hit their stride till about, you know, like episode 5 or whatever. And that was actually really nice of him to say. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if it's, you know, hopefully this thing's going to come out. I don't know how long it takes to be reasonably, adequately good at this sort of thing. So for somebody to kind of say, like, hey, listen, you know, the first two, yeah, rough, no big deal. Right about episode 5, you know, is when people start hitting their stride, they're finding their groove, they're, you know, finding a format. And so just, you know, give yourself the time. And that was really, really nice. When I first started this thing, what prompted me was, as anybody who has any sort of reputation for being even just a little funny, you probably have people around who say something like, oh, dude, you should totally do, like, stand-up. Or, like, oh, you should do, I don't know, like, improv or just something comedic, because you're a funny person, so naturally there must be some professional medium by which you can be funny in, because obviously just because you're funny, that means you can do this, you know, in some professional, you know, sort of way. So I would hear that from time to time. I said, you know, it'd be kind of fun to have that as a sort of creative outlet. So anyhow, that's kind of where this came about. But what I've noticed is that as I've started doing this, it's I find that as I'm jotting down little things to talk about, you know, through my week, or just thinking about things to say, most of the time it ends up being something kind of serious, or, you know, some sort of solemn thing that I want to sort of tell people, or some platitude that I want, you know, everyone to be aware of. I'm going to preach to you on this thing that I think, and why these things that you're doing over here are so incorrect, and I'm going, you know, it ends up, I find myself kind of doing that a lot. I gotta stop. I think part of what makes maybe a good comedic personality, for lack of a better term, is somebody who maybe just doesn't take themselves so seriously. Taking yourself seriously, and whatever you do, even if it is in being funny, is one of the easiest things to do ever. And, you know, I gotta try to sort of get away from that and not be so self-concerned or self-conscious. And hopefully that'll, you know, make this a bit more interesting or funny or entertaining or whatever. At the same time, I'm noticing other people who do similar kinds of things. Two of my favorites are Mr. Adam Carolla and Mr. Bill Burr. I find that in their, you know, or anybody else who does something kind of like a regular sort of podcast or talk on things, it usually ends up becoming like, all right, check out my podcast. These are things that I'm complaining about this week. Birds, broads, and hot dogs. You know, why are they not big anymore, huh? Why are they not big? You know, and it just ends up becoming just like, here's the stuff I'm just complaining about this week. Here's the things that bother me. Here are the things that I think are stupid. Here are the people that I think are stupid. And usually it just ends up being the format. So I don't want to do that either. I don't want to be just somebody who just spends the whole week thinking about things to complain about, because then now that becomes your mindset and your outlook. You're constantly looking for just stuff to just just, you know, get on people's case about it and just, you know, be a jerk about it. And I didn't want to do that either. Like, if I say something funny, yeah, they're, you know, by its very nature, saying something funny about a thing or making a funny observation about a thing will always mean, you know, pointing out how ridiculous it is. But at the same time, I don't want that to turn into just being cynical all the time about everybody and everything and reading in ridiculousness that may not always exist. You know, as Mr. Bird would say, you know. All right. So that's that. This episode is brought to you by St. George Single Malt. So like last week, you know, have a little something I'm sipping on here. A friend of mine said that, oh, it'd be totally cool if like every episode, like you have like a different whiskey or a beer or something. And like you talk a little bit about it. And, you know, I kind of like the idea. You know, I had this sort of mental picture of me, you know, dressed in, you know, probably a robe of some kind, headphones on, you know, like a sifter of something or perspiring pint of something else, who knows, you know, sitting there telling people what I think about things and stuff. You know, I just sort of looked all sort of very cool and picturesque in my mind. But I don't know. I don't know if I want to basically make this the format such that, yes, every week I'm going to drink something. You know, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if I want to be that guy either. But, you know, so insofar as it is, you know, interesting to me at the moment and genuinely, honestly interesting to me at the moment or genuinely and honestly sort of topical for me at the time, sure, why not? So this particular week, it's St. George Single Malt, St. George Distilling, based in Alameda, California. Another good example, like McCarthy's, of the sort of the micro distilling that's happening in this country. Like a lot of other micro distillers, whiskey is actually only one of a plethora of things that they do. You know, they do sort of, I don't know if they do rums. They do a few vodkas, some brandies, a couple of liqueurs. They do a bourbon, but that's actually mostly sourced from some Kentucky distilleries. And then they do their single malt. So I believe, like the McCarthy's, they take barley from Scotland, they bring it in, they, you know, distill it. Unlike McCarthy's, though, it's not designed to be sort of like an Islay, sort of smoky type of malt. So, and unlike McCarthy's, like the format is sort of very weird and it changes every year or every lot. Every year is a different lot, they say. So the lot I have right now is lot 11. Lot 12 and lot 13 are obviously more current. Lot 12 was actually mentioned in 1001 Whiskeys to Try Before You Die as being possibly the best single malt in America right now. As far as Lot 11 is concerned, the nose, not necessarily all that appealing. It's sort of weird. It tastes, it smells almost like cheap candy. I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but you wouldn't want to drink it just by smelling this thing. The flavor, however, just this interesting bouquet of fruit, and not the kind of fruit you typically find in whiskeys. It's not like sort of honeyed or with pears or apples or, you know, that kind of sort of profile, but it's, like things like tropical fruits, like pineapples or melons, like it's sort of that. And then somewhere tucked below all of that is like a sort of an oak or a smoke. I can't quite put my finger on it. But there is something sort of cutting through all that below it. Overall, extremely pleasant, worth a shot, so to speak. So yeah, that's pretty much that. This week in the news for me anyway, I met Mr. Adam Carolla, which was a pretty cool experience for me. He was over at the Glendora BevMo promoting his new drink, Mangria. Try it. It's Mangria. It's good. Make you a man. So, you know, I was working for a client over there at the time. I'm just going to ignore everything I just said there. I was working for a client at the time whose office just happened to be right around the corner from the Glendora BevMo. And, you know, my wife was like, oh, we should totally go. So I thought, oh, yeah, you know, that'd be kind of fun. Fun thing to do on a Friday night. Swing by, say hi to the Ace Man, buy a bottle of his Mangria, you know, and then maybe just go out, you know, for some dinner or something. So we go and, you know, I get myself all ready. And it was the weirdest thing because, you know, for those of you who even know who Adam Carolla is, you know, he's certainly not anywhere near the A-list of celebrities. I think he tends to be largely a sort of Southern California, or at least an American West Coast kind of phenomenon. You know, most of his most of what he's been doing over the years has been, you know, sort of radio. Although he's, you know, sort of branched out and done things like, you know, on the Love Line for a while, and I think it was on MTV, The Man Show. He did a movie. I think his podcast is heard all over the place. So I don't know. I don't know how far his celebrity goes. But again, he's not, you know, he's not Brad Pitt or somebody like that. So I didn't really think much of it as I'm going there. So I get there, and just immediately, as soon as I see this guy, I just start locking up. Like, I'm getting nervous, and I'm sort of jittery and shaking a little bit. And what is going on with me? And I started processing in my mind, like, this is the guy who's been cracking me up since I was like in junior high. I've been listening to this guy, you know, with his bits and his voice and, you know, his rants and his whatevers since I was pretty young. As far as somebody who's been very formative for me and, you know, what I would consider my sense of humor, like, he's definitely way up there. And I really hadn't processed that until I actually saw him, saw the Ace Man himself. And it was weird. I got so nervous. I was like, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. I'm freaking out over here. So, you know, we get to our turn in line, and he's, you know, there's a couple of guys there who are also promoting the drink, and they're a lot more energetic and enthusiastic about it than I, you know, than he, you know, he is. Like, oh, dude, man, great, you should try it. Like, oh, pff, you're only getting one bottle? Man, it's the best stuff ever. You should just get a case of it. Awesome. Awesome. And he's just, you know, he's at ease. He's in his element. He's, you know, half interested. Hey, how's it going? All right. Yeah, all right, get in here. Puts his arm around both of us. Okay. Count of three. Okay, very good. Hands us a little, you know, Mangria sticker with his signature on it. All right, thanks very much for coming. Appreciate it. Doesn't even mention the fact we bought the stuff. He's just like, he's just going through the motions. I'm not even sure how much he actually had to do with this thing, with sort of inventing this drink. Although the bottle says he did. But, you know, he was obviously the least enthusiastic person there about this. I was flipping out. Like, I think at some point I actually called him Mr. Ace Man. I said, oh, thank you, Mr. Ace Man. I think I muttered something about being a fan and still having old Mr. Bertram recordings. Oh, so embarrassing. And then, like, afterward, I got all bummed out because we didn't get any pictures of him with us with our own camera phones. I'm like, oh no, I got nothing to sort of, you know, commemorate the memory. And I was like, well, just go back in line. I'm like, you can't go back in line. Are you out of your mind? No, that's embarrassing. Like, I'm gonna be that weirdo. I was already a weirdo. I don't need to be that much more of a weirdo about this. And, you know, she's like, just go back in line. So we waited till, like, the line was pretty much dying out. Events coming to an end. End up being the last ones there. So we're walking up. And he's like, ah, you two again. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Kroll. I don't mean to be that guy. Well, it's too late. And me, all stupid. Good one, Mr. Corolla. I don't think I actually said that, but it was just in my mind, like, oh, that was good. Oh, stupid. So it was funny. So then after the things tears down, I think Anna actually, you know, piped up. She doesn't know who this guy is or barely knows who he is. She's like, hey, what are you doing after this? He's like, I think I'll just go home and have a glass of Pinot and just relax or something like that. And then I think somebody from the store sort of piped up and said, oh, make sure we get this guy our finest glass. He's like, I think I'll just settle for your closest one. Again, it was just so cool just to see a man like that, just so calm and at ease, just the humor and the jokes flowing so easily, so freely from him. Just, you know, people like him, I just admire so much. Some of my favorite comics have that funny, how do I want to put this? Guys like him, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., there are a few others that come to mind, I imagine. Or if I took the time, they'd probably come to mind. There's just, for lack of a better term, there's just an extraordinary amount of concentrated common sense. You know, in my life, I'm just full of crap. I am. All the time. I say a lot of things that might be true, but, you know, I probably don't mean it that much. I say a lot of pretentious and stupid things. And I think a lot of us are probably in the same boat to varying degrees. So when somebody is able just to sort of so bluntly or clearly just cut through all that and just, you know, point something out, you know, point some stupid or silly thing out that, you know, that I do or that, you know, we all do or that maybe some other group of people does in such a great way is refreshing and so refreshing, which is why That's why people love some of these guys, because they're able just to, you know, find those elements in our lives that we don't even really question or think about anymore, and just point out the ridiculousness of it. Because there are a lot of ridiculous things that we do. And I think that's partially, that's the part of me, or the part of them, I should say, that makes me want to emulate that a little bit. You know, just not to take myself so seriously, you know, to have a light-hearted sense about myself. You know, guys like that, I wouldn't necessarily look to things like chivalry or charity or grace or any of these sort of higher sort of human virtues. You know, those sort of things are infinitely unreasonable and are almost the opposite of common sense. Which is why I find sometimes those guys, you know, he will say horrible things about women or about some racial minority or about some other person suffering. And even though the thing they say it is sort of true and very reasonable in a way, it's still horrible. So, you know, good to sort of take, you know, a certain lightheartedness about them, but also to take some of the things they say with a grain of salt, because, you know, they have a very particular outlook on things and an outlook on life, and not one that is always applicable to healthy human beings. But anyhow, so that's what that's all about. Lastly, okay, so something funny happened to me today. I'd like to think that in this podcast, I also try to help people, you know, provide practical advice for practical living, normal, happy humans. So I have a client who has their main sort of office over in North Hills, California. North Hills, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's sort of sandwiched between North Ridge and Van Nuys. Not exactly the best neighborhood. And they are like smack dab in the middle of just a bunch of just low income, just roughness, you know, the kind of place where, you know, people I knew there had been solicited for, oh, drugs or sex or whatever was sort of about. You know, just a rough place. You know, you just get a sense of it when you walk through, you know. Place is a little rough. People are a little rough. I notice in places like that, people generally don't look at you. They generally try to avoid eye contact. I think that's kind of the thing. So whenever I'm walking through a place that's a little rough, or I get a sense of it being a little rough, I never know how to act. And this is going to sound silly, and maybe I'm just weirdly self-conscious in this way. So maybe not everyone will be able to identify with this, but I start thinking, like, how should I act? Like, should I have my hands in my pockets or my hands at my sides? Or do I walk fast? I don't want to walk too fast or too slow or too this or too that. You know, do I make eye contact? Do I not make any eye contact? Do I make too much eye contact? Like, what is too much eye contact? I don't want to, like, be rude and not look at the guy at all, but then I don't want to be weird and stare at the guy too much. So I never know. I never know exactly what to, you know, how to act. And I just think about it too much, and then I feel like I act even weirder. I've developed this little trick. I didn't even think about it until I did it again today, where I will, it's a little tension breaker I've noticed. So if I'm walking down a street that's a little rough and I'm walking up to some people that seem a little rough themselves, you know, and they're just hanging out. They're not necessarily bad people. They just look a little rough to me. I don't know. Rather than try to figure out how to get just the proper amount of eye contact with them as to, you know, seem natural and normal, I'll try to invent something to ask them about that's, you know, some very bit of practical information. You know, so I'm walking down the street and, you know, I'm walking up to these guys. I go, what do I say? What do I say? And I say, like, oh, hey, man, is it cool to park here today? Or is there, like, the street sweeping? Or is that going on? He said, yeah, no, man, that's Wednesdays and Fridays. Today's Tuesday. You're cool. I said, oh, dude, thanks, because, like, I've seriously been, like, tagged, like, three different times on this. Yeah, man, that sucks. And by the time we finish our little interaction, I'm well past these obviously fairly nice and congenial young men. And it was all sort of very cool because I didn't have to think about, you know, exactly how to carry myself. I just fell very naturally and easily into to a normal conversation about something that, well, I didn't necessarily really need to know, was sort of helpful. I find that's just sort of a good policy in general. It's always just sort of, as I'm walking down some of these neighborhoods, just pick in my mind something that I might actually want to know, like, is this restaurant open? Is this around here? Is the parking? How's the parking situation? Should I be worried about this, that, or the other thing? And just ask the question. If there's some people around that are making, you know, if they're stalking you, or they're making, you know, if they're, you know, going out, they seem like they're going out of their way to, you know, they're making you uncomfortable for whatever, for a reason that is entirely on them, not just you being weird, then, by all means, feel free to avoid them. I wouldn't necessarily care the same policy, walking alone at night in a similarly bad neighborhood. But, if you just feel yourself like these aren't necessarily bad or dangerous people, but I just feel weirded out, just figure out something nice to ask them. Breaking the kind of silence is not always applicable. Like, you don't necessarily need to do that in an elevator. I always kind of smile to myself whenever I'm in an elevator, especially in nice buildings, I've noticed, because everyone gets in the elevator and we all go out of our way not to look at or talk to each other. We just sort of stand there, and it always sort of strikes me as kind of, I guess when I think about it, like, I understand it because I'm doing it too, but it always does strike me as sort of funny, like, we're on this little adventure together. We're going up floors. You got to press a button, I got to press a button, and then we got to get out of each other's way. Like, we can't even acknowledge each other even a little bit. I've only on two occasions actually pointed that out. And on those occasions, I was actually only with one other person. So, like, do you ever notice that nobody really talks to each other ever in an elevator? I've met with limited success with that approach. So don't always feel like you have to, break silence with some kind of question or awkward comment. And obviously as well, some people are just dangerous. And if you are getting a very legitimate sense of dangerous people and whatnot, hey, avoid them. All right, well, that's about all the time I care to spend on this for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. I guess the last thing I'll mention is I would like to open an invitation to anybody who would like to be on the podcast. If you are somebody who has a particular thing you're interested in or something that you're doing, you'd like to talk about, great. I'm not necessarily here to promote your business or the multi-level marketing thing that you're in right now. So, if that's all you really want to do, then maybe this isn't for you. But, if you just want to have a conversation and just talk about something or have a laugh or maybe just spend some time, I'm open. I've already talked to a few people. I might in the weeks to come open this up to having some guests on. Nobody famous, nobody of particular notoriety, we'll see what happens. All right, well, it looks like my wife's home, so I gotta get off this thing. Hope you guys had a good time. Thanks so much.